Welcome to the Aquariumax Audio Show with Russ and Kim. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics.
This is episode 282, recorded February 8th, 2016.
Greetings, Aquariumaxers.
Hello. We are back again this week.
We were not back last week.
No, last week we were front.
No, last week we were just in absentia.
That's kind of like being in front.
Maybe.
It's like the front part, your frontal lobe. Is that where memory problems are? So if you're in absentia, I'll stop.
Okay.
I wouldn't rather have this bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy, actually. But that's a great quote.
It is a great quote.
Yes. Okay. This week we have Joe in Hudsonville, Michigan, Sarah and Juma in Tanzania, Africa, and Tom in Provo, Utah.
Yeah.
Are they in Iringa in Tanzania still?
Yes.
Okay, so in Iringa in Tanzania in Africa.
Yeah.
So that's city and country and continent.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So should we do Joe first?
Yeah.
He says, Kelly and Russ, I am back. We had a relatively long trip to Disney World, 10 days in early January. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I bet Florida was nice in January, too. The aquarium at Epcot is one of my favorites. Our tank was fine when we got back, but hungry fish and baby cherry shrimp don't make good tank mates. First question, do assassin snails ever eat each other? I have found two or three empty shells. Next question, have you had any experience breeding emerald eye rasboras? And final question, possibly the most important, what do you think of Star Wars The Force Awakens?
Well, I apologize for getting to your comments so late. We had an email issue that prevented us from receiving the email, and he actually had to send it to a different email address. Our info@aquariumax.com bounced for some reason.
Oh.
We don't know why, but
it's a good thing
bouncing.
It wasn't a check.
Yeah, well, it stopped bouncing as far as we know, but we've got his comments and questions, so let's go for it.
Okay.
The first one, do assassin snails ever eat each other? I'm not certain of this. I've never seen them actually eat each other, but I've heard people say that they think they eat them when they'll eat each other. Once one dies, they'll eat it. But while it's alive, they won't kill it.
Hunt each other down.
But I kind of wonder if they get hungry enough if they would anyway. I'm not sure. But I've never seen them eat each other. But I have found shells that were empty. You know, one day there weren't empty shells, and then the next day there were. But that it's hard to tell if that's because one died or not, or because they actually ate each other. I don't know.
It seems like you would need to observe them in a tank with no substrate, and then who knows if they're acting normally if there's no substrate.
Right, and you'd probably need to do some... You'd probably need to deny them normal food for a while, and that wouldn't be very nice to actually do a study. So I don't know. That's a good question. If there's anybody out there who has clear evidence that they will eat each other while still alive, that would be interesting to know. But I haven't seen it. So
there you go.
In my several years of assassin snail experience.
Okay, next question. Have you ever had experience breeding emerald eye rasboras?
I have not. I've never kept emerald eye rasboras. They're interesting fish.
Have you ever bred any other rasboras?
Let's see. It depends on whether you consider celestial pearl danios celestial pearl danios, or if you consider them galaxy rasboras. If you do, then yes. If you consider them the latter, the galaxy rasboras, then yes. Mm-hmm. If you consider them danios, then no.
How close are they to the emerald eye? Like, would there be any... I don't know, advice that would carry over?
Well, from the little I know of emerald eye rasboras, not having kept them, they spawn in the same sort of manner.
Which
they
is?
Scatter eggs into plants.
So you could use a spawning map, or they only want real plants? Or
you could probably get away with either one. You know, the probably just the classic egg scatter setup.
Just all over the
place. Where you separate males and females for... If you want to maximize egg production, you separate males and females for a week or so and feed them lots of good food, especially live food. And then you put a male and a female together in a tank at night, just when the lights are about to go off.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the morning, when the lights come on, they're more than likely to find each other and start spawning. The lights tends to do that.
It's like a cue.
So, yeah, and you have some fine-leaved plants, like a clump of Java moss is one of the best down at the bottom. And then you pull them out and you wait a couple of days and see if you see little slivers of baby fishies on the glass. I'm sure there are others who have more detailed information, but from the little I know,
follow
the classic egg scatterer method. And
okay.
And probably have some success. But, you know, I can't really say from first-hand experience. It's just that's the method I use with a lot of fish. If they're, you know, egg scatterers that'll eat their babies, I do that. Take the parents out after they spawn. They're all, you know, you raise them pretty much the same way with infusoria to start out with, and then graduate onto brine shrimp and or microworms or a similar creature. And after they do that for a while, you can start getting them on finely powdered food. So,
We have to deal with the possibly most important question.
Okay.
What do you think of Star Wars Force Awakens?
What do I think?
That's what he says. Okay. He says, what do you think?
Well, he's asking
think?
What you think, too.
Well, I'll tell you what I think, too, after you, if you want.
Okay. I really like it. I went to the movie to be entertained. I was entertained. There are some movies that I feel inclined to pick apart. I felt less inclined to pick that one apart, probably because I'm not as much of a Star Wars geek in terms of my knowledge of the Star Wars universe than maybe Middle Earth, for example. So I didn't try to pick it apart a whole lot, and I enjoyed the movie, and there were certainly issues with it, but I didn't really dwell on them. I liked it, and I'm going to reserve full judgment until the next ones come out, because it kind of depends on what they do with those.
I agree. That's about where I'm at, too. I like Star Wars. It's fun, but I'm not a big Star Wars fangirl, whatever you call it.
I really enjoy Star Wars, too.
Yeah. Well, I like them. They're fun. But I didn't go into it with, like, any particular expectations. So it was fun. It was good. It was worth the $5 at the movie theater. That's kind of the bottom line. If I was going to get picky, I was sitting there in the theater thinking, really? You're going to blow up the Death Star again? It's been 30-something years and you couldn't come up with another plot line. But it wasn't, you know, I wasn't upset about it enough to not have fun with the movie. I still liked the movie. I will tell you, because, you know, we always kind of MST movies at home. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Mystery Science Theater. I think we've talked about it before. But it's like the guys stuck up in space with his little robots and they sit there and they make razzy comments and make fun of really bad movies. So we always do that, even when it's movies that we like. And so I was just thinking, when BB-8 saw R2-D2 for the first time, and he goes up to him, and you know, and he's not talking and anything, and they just have the shot of BB-8 looking up at R2-D2, and I just couldn't help thinking in my head, do you want to build a snowman? You know, we always do stuff like that. But, yeah, we liked it. It was fun.
Yeah.
It was a good couple hours.
Yeah, it was fun.
I wouldn't mind having it when it comes out on DVD.
Right.
But I'm not crushed if we don't.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That's fair.
Okay. Give it a solid 6.5. How about that?
Out of what?
10.
Really?
Maybe 6? Well,
that would be
maybe
a failing
5?
Grade. That is 65% of failing
grade.
Yeah,
but that's not the way that movies work.
Okay.
5 is like you're totally neutral about it.
And 6.5 is you're almost neutral about it.
Well, but you have to think in terms of pH, how it goes up a little bit. I made a pH joke, and I'm still awake. Okay, look, I made another one. Let's go on.
Okay.
Okay, so Sarah and Juma in Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
Juma found frogs. Juma is Sarah's son.
Yes, and Sarah is my sister.
Yes, so Juma is our niece. I mean, our nephew.
Oh, whoa.
Sorry, because I said the word niece more recently than I've said the word nephew, and so it was foremost in my brain when I was thinking of children who are the children of our siblings.
Okay, that's fair. But yeah.
Okay.
So
So they found some frogs, and she sent pictures, and she wanted to know if it's an African clawed frog, which I would say, looking at the picture, it certainly looks like it.
Yep. She said, "Are these the same kind as yours?"
He
Because
wants to
they've
keep
seen
them.
ours. They, when the last time they visited, they came and saw our frog. And he said,
He's found your Aquarimax page about them and is reading up. He may have questions.
yeah.
So it's a pretty cute picture of the froggies.
Yeah, and they are
So we can put that up.
definitely Xenopus. I'm not certain they're Xenopus laevis, which is the species I have, but I'm looking at them and thinking
Their
there's
eyes look
something else.
different. Like they've got like little crenellations around their eyes. Does
No, I
he
see
don't
what
have
you mean.
that? Or have I just
Hedo
never
has that,
noticed?
yeah.
I guess I
But
just
their coloration is
the
different than
glare, I can't
his.
see him from
Yeah.
that angle.
I'm not entirely certain which species they are, but I'm certain of the genus. It is the same genus. It might be Xenopus mulleri, but a little difficult to tell. There are about 20 species of African clawed frog
Oh, I
in
don't think I
sub-Saharan
even knew
Africa,
that.
possibly even more than that.
That is many.
And then
They are legion.
there's another group that are closely allied to them that look fairly similar, like Coelurana, I think the genus is, looks fairly similar to them. So it's a whole bunch of frogs down there that are all pretty similar.
But they're definitely frogs.
Yep. And they're definitely, I mean, they generally tend to be fairly similar in their husbandry requirements. They're all tough, they're all easy to care for, so I'm sure Juma's gonna have fun with those. And since they live in a place where it doesn't get that cold, and the frogs he probably caught quite close to home, he could probably keep them in an outdoor enclosure if you just,
Would
you know.
monkeys eat them if they were like readily grabbable out of whatever little pond type thing he's got them in?
That's a good question.
They
I
do
don't
have
know.
monkeys in their
They do
backyard.
have
I
monkeys.
don't remember what kind of monkeys. What kind of monkeys do they have?
Oh, I don't remember either, but they have monkeys that come into their backyard
And
often.
eat off of their
They've
mango
got a giant
tree.
monitor lizard in their backyard too.
So cool!
Yeah, all kinds of things coming in their backyard. They also, she sent me a picture that I'm not going to talk about much on the podcast because it doesn't really relate. But you know those giant snails we used to see in Hawaii?
The giant land snails?
Yeah. That were from Africa
Uh-huh.
and had been introduced. She showed me by their compost heap, like 50 of them crawling up the
Oh,
wall.
they're all eating the compost, I
Yep, and I
guess.
said, "How big are those?" Because they look like Akatina snails, like the ones we met in Hawaii. And she said, "About 6 inches long." So
Wow.
it's the same kind.
That's a snail.
Yep.
Okay, so Juma, good luck with the froggies, and feel free to ask questions if you have them.
We will do our best to answer.
Yes. Tom in Provo says, earlier this year I asked what I needed to do to get my Anubias plant, which I've had for a long time, to bloom. I guess it just didn't know that I wanted it to. A couple of weeks after I wrote, it bloomed. Sometimes you just have to be firm with your aquarium plants. Beatus est pisciculus.
I like that.
That's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
See, you have to be clear in your communication. Because if the party you're communicating with doesn't understand what you're trying to say, they can't fulfill your wishes.
Yep. So it sounds like it worked. We should try this with other species.
You bloom.
Yeah, maybe we can even get fish to spawn that way.
Hey,
Who
you go have
knows?
babies.
Something like that.
It's not working with the geckos so well, though.
What do you mean?
Well, Tiki doesn't like Jake.
Well, not yet, but we haven't actually tried to breed them.
No, but every time well, not every time, but two or three times she's tried to bite him.
Yeah, we never leave them together for any length of
No,
time and never
it's more like I'm
unsupervised.
holding Tiki and Russ is holding Jake, and Tiki says, "You look like a cricket."
And dives at him.
Yeah. We just need to like stuff her totally full of crickets before she sees him.
Yeah, that's a good way to, if you're going to breed like a mantis, a pair of mantids,
Oh, so she doesn't eat him
you usually feed the
afterwards.
female right as you're introducing the male, so she's eating.
Aren't we all glad we're human?
Yeah. Doesn't work quite that way, does it? That's good. Well, I think that's all we have for this week. It's a fairly short
Okie
episode, but that's okay. We
dokie. That's
hope
okay, I'm still awake.
you have all learned some things this week. And if not,
And about how to rate movies with pH miss.
rate movies on a logarithmic scale.
Bye.
Okay. And so, until next week,
May the fish.
be with you. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. To leave comments or questions that could be featured on an upcoming podcast, leave a message at 801. 877-0629 or email us at info@aquarimax.com.